24. I was thinking, as we heard all these prayer requests that folks were making today, right here's the place to do it, isn't it great? Around the family of God. And I thought of this song, 424, have faith in God. So yeah, take care of it. Isn't that great? You want to stand up and hit me sing that? 205.
standing while the choir comes down, please. Thank you.
Amen. Isn't that a good prayer? Allow the Holy Spirit just to breathe on us, clean our hearts, and make us and mold us. Amen. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning?
Anyone?
The Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Well, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10, still in Acts. Acts chapter 10. This is ought to make us get up and run the pews this morning. This passage here is when the Holy Spirit came and give to the Gentiles. This is the Gentiles' day of Pentecost here in chapter 10. The Holy Spirit came down to the Jews on the day of Pentecost early on in chapter 2, but chapter 10, it is a new revolution of God's grace. He is now gone not only to the children of Israel, He is now shining on all Gentiles, all nations, all tongues, and all kindred. Praise be the name of the Lord. What a blessing that this passage is. It ought to stir our hearts and excite us. I've loved this passage for a long time, and the more I've studied this week, and may not get through much of it. Yesterday, my heart just was overcome, and as I looked and I studied a while and prayed about this passage, and I am just excited about Acts chapter 10. If you would stand with me, we'll start and read a few verses. We may just get through the introduction. I don't know. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Now, this was not the Caesarea Philippi. This was Caesarea that was out, it was 55 miles northwest over on the Mediterranean. So this was up a pretty good piece. A centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God and with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them, and that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy and grace. And Father, we're so thankful now that God, for the word, and we ask you, Lord, to just touch our hearts and open up our minds and our hearts and help us to receive your word today with gladness. And Father, we pray not only as we receive the word that we would not be hearers only, but would be doers of the word. And Father, we pray that you'd just impact our lives and you'd change our hearts today and change our attitudes and our minds, and it would leave here with a greater desire to serve you, a greater desire to see folks come to know you, a greater desire to be exactly what you want us to be. And Father, we love you and praise you and ask your blessing. I pray you'll touch the old preacher boy, and Lord, I pray you'd touch my mouth and my vocabulary, and you'd touch my memory, Lord, and bring back to remembrance what you'd have. Illuminate my thinking. And Lord, I just pray for your touch and anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we know this passage most do. And right after this, then the Lord moved on Peter. He was in Joppa. Peter had seen a vision, and he seen the sheet come down and had all kinds of animals on it that was unclean for Jews to eat. And the Lord said, and he said that he was hungry, and the Lord said, "Kill and eat." And he said, "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean." And God spoke to him and said, "What I've made clean, don't you call unclean." Praise the Lord. And we, as to this point, up to in the eyes of the Jews, Gentiles were unclean. In fact, they were called, often referred to as dogs. And we were deemed unclean. And God had the spiritual meaning in this. He said, "When I save an old sinner boy that's a Gentile, you better not call him unclean. He's just as Jewish as you are." Aren't you glad of that? We have now been engrafted into the family of God. Like you would a tree, we've been put in and engrafted in, and we have been placed in to the body of Christ, redeemed believers that has now been saved and on our way to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that today? But I want to talk about the message of the angel. This angel came to this man, Cornelius. He was a man of authority. He's a centurion and over 100 men. And he's called the Italian band. And this was the group that was from Italy. He's a devout man, reverent, godly, worshiped the Lord. He feared, the Bible said he feared God. He had respect and reverence for the things of the Lord. And I like this also, that it said that with all his house. Boy, I tell you, I could just hook up right there and I could preach a wall right there. With all his house. He wasn't just concerned about himself. He's concerned about the whole house. And his whole house was in order. He told them that he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't supposed to be in all this stuff. And he had been in enough, and he had known enough about it and heard enough that he said, "This is good enough for them. It's good enough for my family." Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to hold on and preach to the men here just a few minutes. I tell you what, it's our responsibility that the house is in order. It's our responsibility that our children are taught. It's our responsibility the spiritual matters of the church falls on the shoulders of the man.
Amen.
Amen. You women say amen there now.
Amen.
I'll get you all next week. Oh, I'll be gone, woman. I like it. Genesis 15, maybe, somewhere around there. It said the Lord spoke to Jacob. And then Jacob went and spoke to his house. When God told him, put the idols away, put the things away, do the things, he went immediately and told his house. He said, you get rid of that stuff. You take that, and we're not having that. And went and buried it out underneath an old tree. He didn't just bag it up and stick it back in the closet somewhere. He took and got rid of it. I had to get rid of some stuff when I got saved, when I got my heart right with the Lord, and I took them out and burned them. Heard someone asked me years later, said, you could have sold them. Them would have been worth a lot of money. I said, you don't sell garbage, you burn it.
Amen.
Amen. You don't give garbage away. You take it to the out and put the fire to it. And I tell you what, sometimes we need to burn some stuff. We need to get rid of some mess and clean the house and clean the house out. And what our families, we allow our families to feast their eyes on and feast their ears on and partake of. It's our responsibility as the men that we watch over that. Not only his family, then he said, much alms. He was compassionate toward the needy. And I like this, that he said, and he prayed continually. See, God really spoke to me this week and on this here. And Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. This past week, I shared a prayer request. And to some folks, it might seem silly. But I had a dear friend that passed away, and he'd left behind a few cattle, and his wife wasn't able to take care of them, and me and another guy had been taking care of them, and she said, I need to go ahead and get rid of these cows. And I don't know, if you've handled cattle much, you know that as strangers around cattle, they can get a little wild. And I had a big concern. We were loading them out Thursday morning. At 8 o'clock on Wednesday, I'd ask everybody to pray at 8. We were loading the cattle out, and I'd prayed, and I'd prayed, and I'd prayed over these cattle. You might say, that's silly. Well, it may have been, but I prayed and prayed about these cattle. I got up Wednesday morning. I was so nervous, or Thursday morning. I told Rhonda, I said, I dread this so bad. I walked in to the study and got my devotion book. Pulled out my devotion book, and it's by Rob Morgan. It's written in the NIV. These are the first words of that verse. It's 1 Chronicles 28:20. Be strong and courageous and do the work. I come out of that study, and I showed that verse to Rhonda. I cried, she cried. I give her a pound, I said, we got this. The Lord gave me an encouragement. Encouraged my heart. We got down. I don't know if any of y'all ever handled cattle much, but well, I'd prayed and prayed and prayed. The Lord woke me up Thursday morning and told me something to change. I had a big feeder out here and a little feeder in here. And that's where I was wanting the cattle. The Lord said, take the big feeder in there and put extra feed in there. It woke me up out of my sleep. So first thing I did, and I got there, I switched feeders, laid the feed to that feeder, went down, called the cattle, opened the gate. By the time I got everything shut up and got back in, seeing they were six little ones, so they had to be separated. The big ones was on that side of the fence, and the little ones was on this side of the fence. So I pulled the gate around, shut them off, backed the trailer up, pulled the gate around, opened it up. How many's ever run cattle? How many of you ever loaded that you didn't even have to get in a pen with them? We stood outside the back of the gate. In 2 minutes, they were shut up and ready to go to the market. We had more trouble loading the little ones than we did the big ones. And a little later on, I thanked the Lord. I said, Lord, I thank you. I praise your name, and I thank you. But that wasn't good enough for him. You know what he told me? He said, why don't you pray that hard over everything? I said, ooh. He said, why don't you pray that hard over everything? See, there's a verse that I've kind of never had to figure it out 100%, but it was to pray without ceasing. And we say, well, how do you pray without ceasing? We can't pray all day. And I've heard preachers say, it's an attitude of prayer and everything. But the Lord revealed to me what that really was. That he said, why don't you pray that hard about everything? See, if I prayed that hard about everything, I'd be praying around the clock. I'd be praying constantly of every situation that I was part of, everything that I was going to do. I'd be on my face before God, lifting it up to him. And if everything, it was, and I looked at it, and I thought, and about these things, and if I would cling and trust the Lord. See, that morning when I left the house, I had no doubt that God was in charge of that situation. He encouraged my heart. And see, I should not let up. I should not let up praying about a set of tires for my car until I know God's in charge of the situation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't need to pray. Preacher, I got a credit card. See, I realized the potential of danger with them cattle. I've been around them all my life. I know when that old big red that weighed about 1,400 pounds stuck her head up in there and them eyes got real big, I said, "There's that will get in your pocket." And I know 1,200 pound bulls, if they really figured out what how strong he was, the barn wouldn't hold them. So I realized the potential of danger. I also realized that God could change the situation.
Amen.
See, when we realize the potential, and then we realize that God's in charge and he can change it. And something else I also realized, that human efforts wasn't enough. You know, I got a guy to come help me that really good with cattle, but human efforts wasn't enough. The Lord said, Why don't you ask me about everything? See, I want to get down to Cornelius. See, Cornelius, the same way, he realized that there was a potential for danger that he might not make it to heaven. He also realized that God could change the situation. And he realized that human efforts wouldn't take care of it. And it took something far greater than man. It took something far greater than just us. And this was a Gentile that trusted the Lord, that put his faith in God. And as we see this, that he realized that he was a good man, but religion don't save you. Hell's going to be full of good men. Hell's going to be full of good women. I tell you that it's not just getting it right in your mind and working it out and getting things said in your mind. It's about trusting God of the universe that sent his only son to die. Anything short of having all of our faith in Jesus Christ is short.
Amen.
See, he knew without God's help he'd have no hope. I want to share a verse with you. In John 7:17, the Bible says, if any man will do his will, I want to put emphasis on that will. If any man will do his will, or if it's any man's will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. See, thinking about this verse, and it may, right on, offhand, you may say, I don't really see where that's going to shed a lot of light on the subject. But Cornelius was honestly seeking the will of God. It was his will to know the doctrine of the Lord. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, and Cornelius' will was to do the will of God. Are you with me now? And he was wanting to be everything God wanted him to be, but he was not in the number. He was on the outside looking in. Salvation had not come his way. It had not been available yet. But boy, he wanted it. This man was devout. This man prayed. This man kept up the poor. This man trained his house in the ways of the Lord. This man did everything right, but he wound up a little short. This verse even has come to me and brought back how many times have you heard, well, what about on a deserted island and nobody ever was able to preach the gospel? And what about these folks? How will they come to know the Lord? Well, I've always said, well, the Lord will be just. But if it's their will to do his will, he'll make a way. They said that some missionaries got to the Sandwich Islands over off the coast of out from Hawaii. And when the missionaries got to the island, the people on the island had already burnt their idols and was there waiting on the word of the Lord. It was their will to do his will. He said, burn the idols and I'll send the word. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. He told Cornelius, he said, you just hang in there. I'm getting ready to send you the word that you need. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. See, when our will is to do his will, he's going to make a way. Romans 1:20 also. Says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible teaches even creation itself will teach you there's a God. When you go out and you look up into the stars at night, anybody can say there's not a God. Hey, they've been sniffing too much bottle car glue or something. God called him a fool. Man, it says in his heart there's no God is a fool. I didn't say that. God said it. But the Bible tells and brings about the truth that when we seek it with our whole heart and we seek God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and we pray and we go after it and we want to know the truth that matters, he'll give it to us. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about the angel's message here, and it's 5 to 12. I told you the introduction would be most of it. The angel told Cornelius, he said, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Let me back up. I got ahead of myself. Let's go to verse 4. And when he looked on him, let's go on to 3. About part of the way, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. See, the first thing the angel told him was that God knows what you're doing. God knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows who you are at church. He knows who you are at home. He knows who you are on Saturday night. He knows who you are on Monday morning. He knows exactly who you are. And his sent word, and as the angel came, the first thing he said, as God's been looking, God's been taking notice of what you've been doing, and he knows exactly where you are and who you are.
Amen.
Wow. Boy, that's amazing. That's the first thing he said. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He also said in Job 34:21, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I tell you what, we may think we've pulled a slick one over on somebody. We may think that we've got everything going our way, and the church don't know about it. The family don't know about it. Everything's going, and I've got it. I'm telling you, there's one in heaven that knows everything you do. There's one that knows every thought we have, that knows every hair on our head, and there's nothing that we'll ever hide from him. Glory, hallelujah. That's the one I want to be in a good fellowship with right there.
Amen.
He says, come up for a memorial. This word, this really kicks back to Leviticus when it was Leviticus 2:16 said, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it. Talking about the burnt offering. Part of the beaten corn and thereof a part of the oil thereof. And with all the frankincense thereof, it is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I tell you, Lord's just really dealt with me on this message about prayer, about praying, about being in prayer. What is it the altar and incense did in the temple and the tabernacle? It sent a sweet savor, a sweet smell up to the Lord. That's symbolic of the prayers of the saints of God. That's symbolic. We are all priests if we're Christians of the Lord. And we're all priests, and we're called kings and priests. And one of our jobs are we're to burn the incense of prayers up to the nostrils of God to have a sweet smell and savor up to him. I tell you what, Lord, with the power, it's not in the church because we've lacked and cut down on our praying, and we don't pray like we used to. We don't pray like we ought to.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, the Bible says that judgment starts in the house of the Lord. The Lord's done been whooping your preacher. I tell you what, I thought I was doing a good thing. I said, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And he said, why are you just now starting it? But then another message, he said, send men to Joppa and call for Peter. And I got to thinking, and I scratched my head. See, I tried to do stuff logical and common sense. I thought, well, why didn't Cornelius just go to Peter? Why did he have to come to him? And I got to scratching my head. And I thought, why in the world? Well, first reason, that's the way God said do it. But logically, thinking, in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, the Bible said, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And one thing I thought of is, see, there's such thing as divine appointments. I ran into one yesterday. It was a divine appointment. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, God had a divine appointment And I was able to, I stumbled right on it. I'll just say that. It pays to be obedient to the Lord. It pays to be obedient. See, God had a divine appointment. He wanted Peter at Cornelius' house. Well, how come? Well, if you read on a little bit, while they was going to get Peter, you know what Cornelius was doing? He's out gathering his family and friends. He said, the man's getting ready to come, the man of God's getting ready to come and tell us Gentiles what we need to be doing. You need to be at my house. He'll be here in such and such time, and we're going to get ready because we're going to hear from God up on high. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you, I got to thinking about that. And I said, he was obedient, and he went about, and he got it together. Peter came down, preached, and the Holy Ghost fell just like it did on the day of Pentecost. You talking about a Holy Ghost meeting. When we're obedient to the leading and the wooing of the Word of God, and we follow everything he says, woo, glory, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost will show up. See, thank God for the Spirit's leadings and promptings in our lives. These are some of the things that as I'm going through this book of Acts, God's just saying to me, the church today's lacking this. The church today's lacking this. We're lacking the praying that they did then. We're lacking the Spirit leading and prompting us and us obeying it like he did. There's where we're coming up short. We're not following him. We're not doing what he says. We're not going like he says. We're not being obedient to everything of the Spirit. But I love Cornelius' response when he told him. Verse 8. Well, verse 7, he said, and when the angel which spake to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Boy, that's a profound, unbelievable statement in my mind. That just jumped off a page at me. He sent them to Joppa. He didn't question, well, I'll just go myself. He didn't question, well, what else, why does it have to be this way? He said, this is what the Spirit told me, and this is what you need to do. Well, I tell you what, if we could just get that in our minds and in our hearts, when the Holy Spirit of God moves and pulls on tugs on us, that ought to be what we do. There ought to be no reservations. There ought to be no figuring it out. We just do it. He sent the men to Joppa. And I'd referred to a little bit of what Peter was doing. And when he got there, Peter said, or they said to Peter, you need to come with us. The Lord had done told him to go with them. It was okay. And then he came with them. And when he walked in, that I really love what Peter said. He said, but Peter, in verse 26, wait a minute, let me go on down a little bit. All right, verse 34. I had it marked. I just had my Bible marker on it. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Aren't you glad of that? When we're in here this morning, each one of us has the same amount of availability to the Lord. We've each one got the same, there's no respect of persons. Well, just because I'm the preacher, that don't make me any more of a Christian than it does you. Just because I'm a preacher, don't make me any more of God bound to answer my prayers as he is you. Amen. He is no respecter of persons. We've all been called kings and priests unto the Lord. We've all got access to the throne. We've all got the royal blood in our veins. We've all got the royal power. We're born again, blood-bought, redeemed Christians, justified, sanctified, going to be glorified one glorious day. We're on our way to heaven. And I tell you, I don't have to have somebody else to go to the throne of God for me. Ain't you glad of that? Oh, glory, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. See, when Peter come in, he said, the only way that you're going to make it to heaven, same way we're going to make it to heaven, is that you got to go by the blood of Jesus Christ. This Jesus whom they hung on a tree and they crucified and he rose again the third day, that's the same one you got to trust in. Amen. And this was the day of Pentecost for us Gentiles. Praise the Lord. You're talking about a Holy Ghost meeting. Glory, hallelujah. Paul become a missionary. And he take the gospel up around modern day Turkey and on around. And the gospel worked its way right on around. Got on an old boat in 1776. Or a little before that. No, it's, I forget the date. I remember the song, but I can't remember the day. Sailed the ocean blue. Brought the gospel right to the United States of America. Glory, hallelujah. Smack me right in the head. Aren't you glad of that? Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Praise be to the Lamb of God. See, if we're today here and you're saved and the Lord's done a work in your life, we ought to be praising the Lord. But if you're here today and you can't remember and you hadn't called on the Lord, you ought to praise Him anyway that you got the opportunity today. Amen. It's still, whosoever, still written in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We're so thankful, Lord, for Your leading. We're so thankful for the sweet Spirit of God. And Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that You'd just minister to us today. Lord, did I just ask that You'd continue to move on our hearts. Lord, You'd have Your way in your lives. And Lord, I pray today that You've just stirred my heart about prayer. You've just stirred me about us praying more. And God, I pray today that You'd touch our hearts and You'd, Lord, give a great desire in our hearts to seek You more than we ever have. Give us a great desire in our hearts, Lord, to be about Your business and what You'd have us to be and do. And Father, we pray today, Lord, I ask You if there be any that's out of fellowship with You. Any, Lord, that may be out of Your will. Any that may be lost and undone. Many in a backslidden condition. And Father, there's a lot of folks that, Lord, we're just going through a lot of trials and tribulations. And Father, I just pray that You'd touch wherever we are today, that You'd touch each one of us, meet our needs, and Lord, draw according to Your perfect will. And Father, we love You and praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.